Hello and welcome to PMC Live. This is reporter Shelby Herbert, and today I am hosting a special live show where we get a chance to talk with some folks from Petersburg's Medical Center. Today I'm joined by Phil Hofstetter, who is the CEO of PMC, and Julie Walker, the Community Wellness Manager, Kirsten Testoni, who is the Home Health Manager, and Kelly Zweifel. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being with me here today. Kelly, I am so sorry. I forgot your title. Yeah. Would you mind going introducing yourself real quick?
I'm Kelly's wife. I'm the clinic manager.
Clinic manager. Awesome. Awesome. Well, welcome you all. I'm so glad you are here to join me on this very rainy day. Phil, as always, we'll start with you.
Sure.
We have some very exciting activities at the project site for the new hospital. PMC is building a new hospital.
Yeah, we're working towards it. We're still building our funding stack, and so it's a very phased approach concept. And we had our open house a few weeks ago, which was very exciting. I feel like that was a success. There was a lot of opportunity for the community to stop in and provide feedback to our architects and project manager, and our staff were available for questions. And so that was very exciting for us. I felt like for the first time that seemed like the lottery ticket as far as getting the community feedback. So I'm excited about having maybe some more of those going forward. And we were a little organic as far as the presentation. So we waited until there was enough people in the room, and then we just had a presentation from our architect, and we were able to answer questions and really have an open format. So a lot of the question and answer sessions went for over an hour, and we had three different sessions to do that. So it was very exciting. We have some more information. We'll have some follow-up and feedback related to the open house, and we are already taking that back with the architect team and looking at how we can embed that feedback and also incorporate that as we go forward. So we also have planning and zoning on June 13th. So there's opportunity for public comment on the site and looking at how we're going to move that forward as well. So there's still quite a lot to do yet related to the processes and the steps, and also the incorporation of the community in each of those steps. Exciting, but also a lot of work making sure we're following all the processes and making sure we're bringing the community along in that process also. And also making sure that there's plenty of opportunity to get that feedback.
That's exciting. I was at that open house. Turnout looked awesome. It was really cool to meet the architects and the landscape architects even, and just get to see all of those blueprints. And that's right, the Planning Commission meeting is coming up, you said, on the 12th, correct?
The 13th.
Yep. That's right. Yep. Awesome. And so that we'll just expect to hear some notes about rezoning, and right. I think it was I know it was Joa Street. I can't remember the other ones, but that's
It's on the that Haugen site. I believe it's, and then just rezoning that plot is part of the next step in identifying that area, and again, opportunity for public comment on that. And then we continue that down that road in that process, we're also building our funding stack and making sure we are able to put that all together so that in a few years' time we're able to have a new facility. But it's not an easy process by any means. Obviously, there's a significant expense, and then there's federal funding, and there's state funding, and there's making sure that we are doing everything we can to make it as efficient a building as possible. We heard from the community about making sure that there's not an increase number of staffing, and we are all taking that into account, and making sure it's energy efficient, and which, if you know the old building, is that we already ran those numbers, and there's certainly a large savings just on the efficiencies and the plant and the electricity utilities.
A little off topic, but how did you all handle the little hiccup in
yesterday?
The generator switchover yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, when something like that happens, I text our facilities group right away. And it's really about which things, you know, when it flips over, sometimes there's some risk to our equipment, making sure that our CT scan, making sure that doesn't go offline or have any issues with surges. Surges are really detrimental to certain pieces of medical equipment. So we always have to make sure those are on board. We have a generator, obviously, so we switch over to generator power, but that doesn't, there's always something to check, make sure that everything goes on correctly, make sure that there's no problems with equipment on the back end, like CT scans, imaging, our refrigerators that hold certain types of pharmaceuticals that are very expensive. So just make sure those are all online as well. So yeah, it's always every month we have to do generator run as part of our CMS requirement. And so it kind of also satisfies that yesterday.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you all made it through it fairly smoothly, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Glad
yeah.
Everything's still working. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Kelly, I see that you have some clinic updates for the specialty clinic.
Yeah, just here as an opportunity to give a few updates. We are expecting a dermatology clinic in the near future. So just wanted to get the word out on that. We'll have more details to come on dates, and we're just kind of finalizing some of those things. So once that's there, we'll put that out to the public. But if people are interested, we are trying to get a list, you know, a waiting list or just a list going of who wants the services. So we can have a call. You can call the specialty clinic, Michelle, at 772-5792. That's 5792. So that'll be coming in the near future. We still have Last Frontier Eye Clinic coming with Dr. Cami Kapp. She was here in May, and she'll be back at the end of July. So looking for July 24th. To the 28th.
I'm excited for that. I am, my eyes reading all this fine print. Phil.
Okay, so the wonderful world of technology, I just received a text from Dr. Hulebeck. Dr. Alice Hulebeck, one of our newer physicians that's not so new to Petersburg. Live updates. She said, with Dr. Tosilla, you used to do the physicals for the pilots for FAA. Dr. Hulebeck is now can do class 2 and class 3 physicals for pilots. And she is now the designated medical examiner for the FAA. So just
interesting.
Plug related to that.
Would either of you, would anyone here be able to tell me what a pilot's physical exam would include? I figure eyes, but that's
sounds
never
like you
something
want Dr.
I've
Hulebeck
considered.
On this. And
definitely.
She can probably speak to that.
I'll have to look her up.
Special
that's
request.
Fascinating. That. All righty. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they should design one for reporters. Just eye strain, vocal stress, all that. General stress. Awesome, awesome. Any other specialty?
We anticipate Dr. Raster with ENT coming back in September as well. So just kind of some heads up on that. But again, just kind of highlighting that dermatology service that will be here in the near future. And you can call the specialty clinic at 772-5792 if you want to get on the list.
Awesome, awesome. Are spots filling up fairly quickly? Or
We're just kind of getting the word out. So we're just kind of trying to gauge interest and see, how many days of services we need. And so it's a good opportunity.
Sounds good. Well, that is very exciting. Also, I've got some events coming up. Ketchikan is having some kind of boat race right now, but we're also having some exciting athletic events coming up. Julie and Kirsten, could you tell me a little bit about this pedal paddle battle coming up at the end of the month?
I'll take that one.
All right, Julie. So,
we just set the date for our 9th annual paddle battle event. It's actually the second year we've incorporated bikes, so it's the second annual pedal paddle battle. Previous to that, it was just paddlers. Last year, we added in the bikes, and it was extremely successful. We probably tripled our number of participants, most money we've ever raised for this fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for the Petersburg Medical Center Foundation, And all the funds go to support education, continuing education for our staff, but also scholarships for graduating high school students that are entering the medical field. So last year we raised about $19,000, and we hope to do as much this year or maybe even more. So basically the participants will either paddle a kayak or a canoe or a stand-up paddleboard, whatever their choice is. They'll kayak from Scow Bay to Sandy Beach. It's about a six mile paddle. It's on July 29th. The paddlers will start at 10 a.m. and then the bikers will start at 11, and they follow the same path. They start at Scow Bay, and they go along the water to Sandy Beach. And then the PMC Foundation puts on a barbecue for us at the end, along with the PMC board. And one of the ways that we fundraise is we have an excellent, very exciting drawing. We don't have our prizes determined yet this year, but last year we gave away a really nice fat tire bike, some Alaska Airlines tickets, and a stand-up paddleboard. So I'm in the process of looking for some big prizes along those lines this year. And the way that it works is the participants, they seek out sponsorships, and for every sponsor they get entered into the drawing. And then the sponsors get entered into the drawing as well, depending on how much they donate. So both sponsors and participants are in the drawing, and we draw the names at the barbecue at the end.
That's exciting. Yeah. Wow. What was turnout like in previous years?
Well, it kind of suffered a little during COVID, of course.
Of course.
But last year we really revived the event. We had 70 participants last year.
Wow.
Which, like I said, was almost triple what we've had in the past, but, more bikers than kayakers. And actually the weather was pretty poor that day. So we had a few paddlers say, oh, I think I'm just going to bike instead. So it was nice to have that option. People didn't want to go out on the water. It was a little choppy that day, but they were fine with riding a bike. So, and a lot more kids participating last year. We had a lot of families come out, a lot of kids, because it's more accessible. Most people have bikes, not everybody has a kayak. So we liked making it a more accessible event and plan to do that again.
That is, what a thrill. That is so cool. 6 miles. My goodness. Biking sounds a little bit friendlier to me. I don't want to be too confident in that assessment, but yeah, that's wow. 6 miles, that's incredible. All righty, Kirsten, anything to add to that? Anything you're particularly excited
not so much
about?
With the paddle battle, but I wanted to talk about two programs that one I've talked about a bunch of times here. We have a partnership with Beat the Odds, and we have some cleaning vouchers for folks who are impacted by cancer. And so if you or any one of your loved ones is in that predicament, please call the home health office, 907-772-5716, and we'll get you hooked up with the most wonderful cleaning person, and then the bill is covered. So we've utilized her for several folks. It's been a great experience, and we want to make sure that we can provide service to as many people as possible. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I've referenced this a few times, is the Adult Day Program, which is now going to become a reality.
That's
so we have a space. We are working on the licensing and sort of the behind the scenes things. My hope was to roll it out July 1. That's a little bit, I think that probably not going to happen. So we're looking August or September. It is going to be a program that is going to make a really big difference for a lot of folks in town. And it will be, unfortunately, our space that we have will only allow us for morning hours, but it's a great way to start. And it looks like we can take up to 13 people. Our plan is to run the program 4 days a week. So it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, from 8 to 12. And during that time, we will provide transportation. So if you can't get your loved one to and from the program, that we'll provide that transportation. We're going to provide a meal. And then lots of activities. And so that programming is we're in the works of getting things up and rolling. We're going to coordinate with long-term care and utilize some of the staff ideas and program that they already have. There's a program that Julie's going to talk about that we're hoping to incorporate into this adult day program as well. But the biggest impact that this will have is the ability to provide some respite and some socialization. So folks who are primary caregivers don't have an opportunity to get out. If you're fortunate enough to get one of our spots to start, it will allow you a four-hour block where you can run your errands, you know, take a shower, take a walk, whatever it is that you need to do, and then your loved one will have the opportunity to be in a really wonderful social setting. So if you're interested in this program, we're just in the very beginning stages of application process. There's two ways that it can be financed. One, it will be a private pay, and the rates are not 100% set yet. The other is through a waiver. And if you're interested or you think you may qualify for the waiver or you're just not sure, please get in touch with Brandy Boggs. She is our care coordinator, again, at 772-5716, and we can start the process because we'd really like to have as many people enrolled as possible so that we can get this up and running. And if you have questions or you're not sure if your loved one qualifies, please don't hesitate to call. I'm just really excited about it. It's been a dream of mine, and now it's becoming a reality.
Wonderful.
I'm grateful to the Medical Center for supporting that. So really excited.
That is fantastic. And this this program, the adult daycare program, was a huge topic of discussion at a recent assembly meeting. And this is definitely something I was really interested to talk about today. Could you tell me a little bit about just the history of this program and the idea for the program? Like, when did you or your team identify this as a need in Petersburg? Phil?
If you don't mind, I'll jump in here just a little bit because before COVID, which was pre-2020, so 2019, I did a community cafe here in the community in November of 2019. And during, it was really focused on aging in place, elder care, and what does the community want to see? And so, and this is important for me to state because I, you know, this feedback from the community standpoint is really the driving force of how we develop our programs. So we don't just sit behind a room and say, oh, this sounds like a good idea. Let's just go forward. It's really the ability for the community as a community hospital. I feel pretty strongly about how the community's input is important in these programs. And in that process, there are a couple of things that were requested. One was expanded home health. The other was a navigation program so patients can work through the different complexities of their payer systems, such as Medicare and Medicaid, and how do I qualify for this and how do I do that? Very complicated, especially when it comes to long-term care. So that was one of the bigger issues in the community. And the last thing is just an opportunity for our elders to have activities. And all those came out through, we had AARP here in Petersburg that came down and presented, and we had a really strong group. And a lot of these deliverables and action items have been in the queue as far as developing it. And what Kirsten has done when home health became such an explosion during COVID to provide home-based care and an opportunity to grow the program, is that she's taken these concepts and operationalized them, which is really, you know, taking the opportunity of meeting the needs of the patients in the community during COVID, but also taking the opportunity of pre-COVID, what are the needs then, and incorporating those in the current needs. And all those pieces that I just mentioned, expansion of home health, a patient navigator, which is Brandy Boggs, and then now the care coordination, the Medicaid care coordination. Again, those are all things that Kirsten has really ramped up and grown within that program. So I really want to compliment her and her team for the effort putting that together. And I also want to compliment, you know, a lot of this is just couldn't do this in the silo. I want to compliment the borough and Steve Giesbrick for really paving the way and providing the space up at the senior living area, Mountain View Manor complex up there for this program too, as it goes forward. So just a few kudos to that program for developing that.
That is fantastic. I think that is a great note to start wrapping up on. Any final thoughts and huge congratulations on all of these new exciting programs? That's great to hear.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. No, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you at home for joining us for PMC Live today. Again, this program is held every first Thursday of the month at 12:30 p.m.